Dear friends in Jesus Christ, last week I did begin a sermon series on our 8 worship area banners, and they're all tied to the phrase, I am. Jesus saying, I am. What makes it even more important is when we jump back to what we talked about last week just briefly, when Moses is there at the burning bush, and we have the voice from the burning bush say, I am who I am. Oftentimes we think that's God the Father, but that is actually the very Son of God. He is Yahweh. He is the great I am. And when we come to banner number 8, if you think about the burning bush and we mix that in with banner number 8, you're going to see the great power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we focused on 2 banners. First of all, Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And then also, the second banner, Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. So in the context of John chapter 6, there are a lot of people that want to say, that's talking about the Lord's Supper, but that just isn't true. Remember, I gave you 2 reasons last week. First of all, it can't be the Lord's Supper because Jesus has not yet instituted the Lord's Supper. Second, it can't be the Lord's Supper because later in the chapter he says, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And that would make the Lord's Supper a requirement of salvation. And we know that that is not true. Simply knowing Jesus, trusting in him, we have the gift of salvation. We also talked how with him being the light of the world, remember he said, I am the light, but then he pointed to us and he said, you are the light of the world. So when we think about him, he is like the sun, he has all the light, we are like the moon, we only reflect the light. How do we do that? We do that by saying what Jesus wants us to say and doing what Jesus wants us to do. Those are important things. Going further in the sermon, we have the 8 banners. We're going to focus on banners number 3 and 4 at this time. So we come to Jesus saying, I am the door. We're in John chapter 10, but let's jump back to chapter 9 for a moment. We have to understand that because that rolls right over then into chapter 10. So in John chapter 9, keep in mind, it's a Sabbath day, supposed to be the day of rest. But what we find, though, is Jesus has healed a man who was born blind. When you think about what it says there, the Bible is stating that never in the history of the entire world has it been known that there was someone who was born blind and yet now they can see. I mean, this is such a monumental thing he does there in John chapter 9. Well, after the healing, some Pharisees, they are arguing with the man who had been healed. And what they should have done is they should have been praising God. They should have said, you got to be kidding me. You have been blind your entire life, and now you can see? This is fantastic. Whoever did that, that must be the Messiah. But is that how they reacted? It is not. So they argue with the man, and then rolling over into chapter 10, now we see them having a conversation with Jesus, these same Pharisees. So picking up in chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So when Jesus talks about this, all who came before me are the thieves and robbers, who is he talking about? He is talking about these Pharisees. He is talking about all these greedy religious leaders. So they served not for the benefit of the people, they served for their own benefit. So here he is talking right to them, and he's saying it like it is, and they probably didn't like to hear it at all. And then Jesus talked about the sheep, how the sheep did not hear those greedy religious leaders. So who are the sheep? Well, the sheep, they are the true believers. What is so vital in being a true believer? It is so vital that we know the Bible. Think about having read through the entire Bible so you know everything that's in there. And then you hear somebody talking and they're trying to tell you something that is true according to the Bible. Like, immediately you're like, oh no, that is not true. I read the entire book. That is not in there. Or what he is saying, that's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Like, right away we recognize that. So it's so important as believers that we know what the Bible says, and when we do, then we are not going to be led astray. I want to give you a little bit of an example here as to how we can think about the Bible. I want to jump over to James chapter 1 here for a moment. So picking up in verse 23, it says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, so we hear it but we don't do it, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. In other words, it's saying, like, imagine your hair is like all sticking up crazy, but you don't really know it. You look in the mirror and you see it. It's like, oh my goodness, look at that. I need to do something here. But then you just walk away from the mirror, forget all about it, and you go about your day with your hair like all sticking up in a crazy way. Well, God is saying that if we get into the Bible and we know what it says, but we don't put it into practice, or we don't repent, we don't stop doing something where the Bible says, do not do this, then we are really deceiving ourselves. The verse goes on to say, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So God is calling us, you know, day by day, read a little bit of the Bible, think about what it says, put it into practice in your life. That will bring honor to God, and that will be a great blessing to us. It's not a complicated thing. It's just little by little by little. But if you do a little bit each day, and then month after month, year after year, God is transforming us by His Spirit through His Word. And then going back to our text here in John chapter 10, picking up in verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. When we think about a true shepherd in the world today, every true shepherd is always an under shepherd. We're always serving under Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. There's only one of him. Everyone else is an under shepherd. An under shepherd, it's never his job to tell people what to do or what to give in order to be saved. If you ever hear of anyone saying, do this or give this in order to be saved, you know that person is a false teacher. Instead, the task of the under-shepherd is to keep pointing people to Jesus, because he is the door, he is the only door, he is the only way by which we can enter into the kingdom of God and have God's gift of eternal life. So that's my job, to keep pointing you to him. And then Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that the sheep may have life and have it abundantly. Did you catch the sharp contrast there? Think about it. Steal, kill, destroy. Versus life abundantly. Wow, what a great difference. Let's react to that statement like this. Let us gladly trust in Jesus for eternal life. People in the world today, sometimes they're hesitant. But there is absolutely no reason at all to be hesitant. The Bible has proved itself to be true. So because the Bible is true, we know that Jesus Christ is true, we know that sin is true, we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So we all want to go to heaven. Jesus is the only way, so let us gladly trust in him for eternal life. Let us also be grateful to know him now. Imagine how difficult that would be. Here we are living in a nation, we are living in a world where things are growing more and more difficult in certain ways. Imagine how difficult it would be to go through life day by day, uncertain as to what's coming, or laying your head on the pillow at night, not knowing whether you can even sleep through the night or whether you can even go to sleep, because there is so much uncertainty. God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to be grateful to know him and to know who he is. When we think about what the Bible says, nothing in the whole world exists other than what God the Father has created through God the Son. Where is the Son now? He is ruling and reigning over all things. Who is the Son? He's the one who lived and died to take away our sins. When you start to add all that up, like what can possibly happen to us? What can possibly go wrong? If we live, we live for Christ. If we die, we get to go and be with Christ. I mean, it's all taken care of. God wants us to be completely confident. Let us also keep looking forward to being with him and all believers forevermore. That day is coming. Thinking on that topic regarding Jesus' return, I wanted to share this verse with you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Regarding his return, it says, "We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with all who died in Jesus, so caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." So great, great things are coming for all who know Jesus. And then we come to the fourth banner. So now, number four, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." When we come to the fourth banner, it's also in John chapter 10. So with all the other banners, we're going like chapter to chapter to chapter, but with 3 and 4, they're both located right here in John chapter 10. They're kind of back to back, but they are two different I am phrases. So in John chapter 10 here, let's notice the big contrast between the good shepherd caring for the sheep versus the hired hand who is caring for the sheep. Jesus said in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep." So first of all, think about the hired hand. So he has no ownership of the sheep. He has no love for the sheep. It's just kind of a job for him. When it comes to the sheep versus himself, he cares more for himself than he does for the sheep. So if the wolf is coming, what is he going to do? "Hey, I don't want to get bitten or eaten by the wolf, so I'm out of here, and I'm going to let the sheep fend for themselves." That's what happens with a hired hand. But think about Jesus, though, being our good shepherd. Here we are with our good shepherd, and when the wolf comes, think about the greatest wolf. That would be Satan himself. And what is he doing? He is coming to steal and kill and destroy. What does the Bible say? It says your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. These are real, true things. Take a look at Revelation chapter 12. It tells us that the devil decided that he would devour the Christ when he was born, and yet he was not permitted to do so. Then he said, I can't get the Christ himself. I will devour the entire church. He tried to. God stepped in and saved the church. He saved the true believers. The devil tried again. I'm going to devour the entire church. And yet God stepped in again and prevented that. And then the devil said, okay, I can't get the Son of God himself. And I tried twice and I can't get the entire church. So basically said, okay, I'm going to go after each person one at a time. God wants us to know that the forces of evil are real and are super powerful, but they are not as powerful as the Good Shepherd. So our Good Shepherd, he is so good, he is so great, and he loves us so much that he gave his own life in a most horrible and painful way to save us from eternal punishment and to give us an amazing eternity. Jesus said these words, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. What else do we have to think about here? Who are those friends? Well, those friends are you and me. He laid down his life for us. Wow. If a person did that for us, that would be extraordinary. When the very Son of God does that for us, oh my goodness, this is just so, so amazing that God loves us so very much. And then coming to the final part of the text, we're in verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So what can we say about Jesus? Well, he is God Almighty. He does know about all of our sins. He knows everything. Think about those places in the Bible where he's talking with someone, and someone is thinking something or feeling something, and Jesus knows. He speaks right up and says, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're feeling. I mean, he knows all about that. There's a place in the Old Testament where it says, not only does he know what we think and what we feel, but he knows every intent of the thoughts. So not only what we are thinking, but he knows why we are thinking what we are thinking. That's kind of scary in a way, isn't it? I don't know if I want God to know all of that about me, but in fact, he does. However, though, we don't have to be concerned about that because of who he is and because of what he has done for us. Think about the passage there in 1 Peter chapter 3, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. So he is the just one. We are the unjust ones, but he did it for us. He did it there on Calvary. He did it once, and what he did once, that was sufficient for all. And why did he do it? The Bible says he did it that he might bring us to God. So even though we've all messed up big time, he wants us to know that he has done everything necessary, the way is open, and he's calling everyone to come and trust in him and to be with God the Father forever. Of course, he's calling people to repent. Anyone who is not with Christ now, that means that they are trusting in something else. They are trusting in themselves. They are trusting in what they have done. And he is saying, stop trusting in things that cannot get you into heaven. Give up on that stuff. Let it go. Turn from that stuff. And by the grace of God, trust in me and all that I have done, Jesus says. And knowing him as Savior and as Lord, he wants us to know that being in that relationship, then we have the gift of eternal life. So he talked there in the text about how the Son and the Father are in relationship and how the shepherd and the sheep are in relationship with each other. When we know the Good Shepherd, so that doesn't mean to know about him, but that means to be in relationship with him, to have that God-given trust by which our confidence is in him. Then, when that is true, let's understand that we are under his love and care. So we don't have to say, well, what's going to happen here and everything is out of control. Oh, no, wait a minute. The Son of God, he loves us. The Son of God, he's taking care of us. We don't have to worry about things. Also, let us enjoy the benefits of his saving work. We might say, oh my goodness, I can think of like a million sins that I've done. But Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about it. I took every one of them. I paid the full penalty. And in me, there is full forgiveness. Wow, what a great, great blessing. And then finally, what should we do? We should look forward to a peaceful, loving, exciting, stress-free eternity. Do we deserve any of it? By no means. Why do we have it? Because God's love, God's forgiveness, God's mercy is greater than our sins. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, each week, as we come into our worship area, as we see our banners, let us remember that you, dear Jesus, are the door of the sheep, through which, by grace, we have entered God's kingdom. And let us also rejoice in your shepherd care for us, knowing that you have saved us, knowing that you are providing for us, knowing that you are protecting us. And let us be at peace until finally we are in your glorious presence. In your holy name we pray. Amen.